Okay, can everybody hear me okay?
No.
Yep.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Right. My name's Robert Tony McCurry. I'm from South Carolina, like I spoke earlier. I'm one of the newer speakers, and as you will soon find out, one of the most nervous speakers you'll ever meet.
It's coming.
Right across the hall. But yeah, I was at work Tuesday and got a phone call. I was actually taking a nap. I'm a barber by trade, by the way, and that's the only job I know of you can take a nap and not get fired for. You might have to get some grief from your customers, but got a phone call, and it was Bob. As soon as he said Bob Gunther, my jaw dropped. What is this all about? Well, he commenced to tell me about Jack's problems, which is sad. But I asked me to speak, and I want to thank you for that. You know, it's an honor to get up here and do this. And, because Bob don't take it lightly who he allows to speak. And it's my privilege to put forth the word, and it's my honor. I was told by a brother that we're in the big leagues now when you get to ask to speak at this conference. Even though I'm not putting our other three conferences down whatsoever, but when you're asked to speak at Bob's conference, buddy, you're up there.
You're on
the ground. I'm on the list. Following Dave, I mean, y'all just bear with me, okay? I'm even though I'm 56, about to be 57, I'm still young in the Word. So just bear with me as I deliver it.
You're still young in life.
It's what?
You're still young in life.
Oh, yeah, well. But, yeah, to God be the glory to the Word. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Thank you, dear Lord, for these saints, these believers, this body that has gathered together to hear your word. Gathered together to study your word, to know your word at the utmost, rightly divided. Lord, we ask that you search our hearts. We have people at home that need a touch. And we just thank you for the traveling graces that you allowed us to have also, Lord. And be with me as I deliver your message. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
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 Well, the theme conference is 1 Timothy 2, 3 to 6. Let's go ahead and get this out of the way. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In verse 3, the one that jumped, the word that jumps out is Savior that I'm going to touch on to start with. It's a title appropriate to the matter at hand. He, Christ, our Savior, is willing that all should be saved. Therefore, we should meet the will of God in behalf of others by praying for salvation for all men. More would be converted if we would pray more. Possibly. He has actually saved us who believe, being our Savior. He is willing that all should be saved. even those who do not yet, as yet, believe. In 1 Timothy 4, 8-11. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. This is what Paul was telling Timothy, and this is the word that I got, that we, as members of the body, are to do as well. When you look at verse 4, it can be construed or confused by some people who don't rightly divide the Word of God. It says, who will have all men to be saved? Well, if you get someone who claims to be or who is a universal salvationist, they will say, this tells you that God will save everybody. A universal salvationist is believed that all people, no matter how evil, God will bring back to himself and into heaven. They believe this. As Dave pointed out, that's confusion. It's brought on by Satan. It's not true. When you rightly divide and you see the form that is spoken of in this will, who will have all men be saved, it's the Greek form philo. It means to wish or desire. And is the emotional element which leads to the consequent action. It is therefore stronger than balomai, because the natural impulse is stronger than the reason resolved. On the other hand, in Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's not philo. That is philema. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ. Philema is a determination, properly the thing, actively, a choice, specially, purpose, decree, abstractly, inclination, desire, pleasure, and or will. In Colossians, three times is used philo. In Colossians 1:27, it's to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, mysterion, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It says, to whom God would, that word is philo, to whom God would desire, God desires to make known. God wants everyone to make known, to know the mystery. God isn't going to make anybody know anything. It's a choice. It's a choice that man has now and always had from Adam out. It's a choice. God has always given man the choice. And it's man's own actions that leads to corruption. The other one is in Colossians 2, verse 1. For I would, he loved, that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. In Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntarily evil humility and worshiping of angels. Intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his own fleshly mind. Voluntarily, man voluntarily does these things. They follow the angels. You see angels in churches all over the place. They're women angels. See, they don't even know what an angel is. They think an angel can be a woman. Scripture proves through and through that angels are men. And the second part of 4, which is a two-part. In 4 it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? And that's not made to come, but it says, and to come by their own choice to the knowledge of the truth. In 1 Timothy, then jumped over the Thelema. I'm going back up to the will, to the Thelema aspect of my verse, and go to Ephesians. It's used in 7 times in Ephesians. This is one that I added today. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. God desired that Paul be the apostle to the saints which are at Ephesus. And I'm going to read down and we're going to get to 5. Grace be to you, peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The Apostle Paul did this. No, I'm sorry. The Lord Christ did this. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, He's had made known unto us the mystery of His will because we asked for it. We searched it out and He gave it to us. According to the good pleasure which He had purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together one, gather together in one, all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. In Ephesians 5:17, I'm going to read from 15 down. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. They're just as evil today as they were then. The apostle has given the Ephesians a warning, and we can read that into today, the same warning, because today is just as evil as it was then. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That in 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? The knowledge of the truth. We see it here in 17. Wherefore be ye now unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What His will, not ours. Not preacher Bob's up the street. Not what the mega church that has thousands and thousands of followers because they are with a culminating group of fish that are in the water that are just waiting to be devoured by Satan. We're small in number. As Dave pointed out, the Israel that came through the wilderness, two came out of it. What's the percentages of those compared to the percentages of numbers of people who accept the truth rightly divided and shun the message that's delivered daily about hell, condemnation, and such as that? Our numbers are just as small when you look at them as to the people that are in this world today and to the people that are here that are studying the scripture rightly divided and look and search. This is a puzzle, man. I tell you, and thank God for teachers like Ronnie, David, Bob, Barney, all you guys, man, y'all guys make it easy for us. And it's a shame that other people that are in our own families don't listen. You know, why would we be willing to tell somebody something that's going to hurt them? That's what confuses me when we even have family members that don't listen to the truth. They'd rather go to the church and be with the group. We all have the Greek interlinear for 1 Timothy 2:3-6 says it much better and more understanding than the King James Version. says, "For this is good and acceptable before our Savior God, who all men wishes to be saved." The King James Version is great, and it's probably as close as we can get without getting to the Semanticus or something and understanding that. But for the layman, man on the street, the King James is great. But if we don't get in and understand Greek and see what the original message was meant to say, then we will not understand God's truth that's there. Who will have all men, who all men wishes to be saved and to knowledge of the truth to come? For one God is, and one mediator of God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Thank you. Who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony to be rendered in its own time. In four, who will have all men to be saved and come to unto the knowledge of the truth. And this Greek form is epignosin. Epignosin. Probably right on that one, if understanding the way we was studying the Greek earlier. It's a precise or further knowledge through acquaintance with true knowledge. It's my own personal interpretation of this. When I was a child, I didn't go to church like my wife. She had a father that taught them right division from birth. Ronnie had a dad that taught him right division. Well, Ronnie was probably a young child. But he learned from her father right division. Barney, I'm sure he learned from a child right division. Kelly, I'm sure. Dee. And those are the ones that I just know from their own testimony that they've known right division from very early on. Whereas me, well, when I was young, I was invited to Vacation Bible School. Well, as a child, I knew the Greek form Edo. I knew a man called Jesus. I knew a man called Jesus. That's what I knew. You know, he loved children. Everybody knows the song. As a young adult, say 13, 14 years old, I still wasn't going to church. But I still knew Jesus. I knew of a man called Jesus. Well, my dad, running the store across the street from the house, he sent a pastor across the street, Church of God pastor. And I was watching Gilligan's Island. That's what you did. Well, I did anyway. And he gave me the message. Asked me the sinner's prayer. And while I was doing the sinner's prayer, I was shaking. I knew what Christ did through his death. But I gnosko, I knew even further knowledge as to what Christ was doing. I knew this man Jesus. As a mature, fully grown man, I know Epignosin, a man called Christ, amen, who chose me as an adopted son.
Amen.
Now that's knowledge. and through study, getting down through study and studying with brothers and understanding Scripture rightly divided, and know the mystery that you are chosen from before the foundation of the world. I mean, there's nothing better. You're set aside. Even before I can't fathom it. All I can say is the Word said it. God said it, I believe it. That's all you can do, because I can't put a finger on it. In the analytical lexicon, epignosis is the true knowledge in the New Testament of content, used especially of intensive religious and moral knowledge. What one comes to know and appropriate through faith in Christ. Full knowledge, acknowledgement, and recognition. Since Christ wishes all men should be saved, do you also wish it? Do you also wish it? And if you wish it, pray for it. All men be saved. For prayer is the instrument of effecting such things. Paul does not say he wishes to save all, for then he would have saved all in matter of fact, but will have men to be saved implies the possibility of man's accepting it through God's grace, or rejecting it through man's own perversity. It's man's choice. Our prayers ought to include all. It's amazing what one word can do, ain't it? Golly, that one word can just change everything. Our prayers ought to include all, as God's grace included all. I know we see people on the street, we have people that, I'm sorry, we're judgmental. We see people that are murderers that we don't think needs grace. God don't see it that way. It's their own choice. In Romans 10, we're going to jump back a dispensation. Going to read 10:1-13. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Israel knew God, but they still weren't saved. But not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about establishing their own righteousness. Well, I thought we'd just jump back to dispensation. That sounds like today to me. Am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong. I'm right as far as traditional churches. They're doing the same thing that the Romans were doing. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. The man which doeth things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That's to bring Christ down. Or who shall descend into the deep? But that's to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's just as true today as it was then. For with thine heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth of confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jump ahead for 1 second to Ephesians 1:13. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted Christ, in whom ye trusted. After that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that is a sealing that can't be undone unless you choose to. Babe was referring to earlier. It's a seal that can't be taken apart, that can't be removed except by you. That's the only way that seal can be removed. You're in Christ, the body. And to get back to the Romans 10, finish it through 13 through 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how they should believe on him of whom they have not heard? How shall they not hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Yeah, he's talking to the Romans here, but to me, I'm hearing this because we're called. We are the church and we are called and we're sent also to deliver the message of the mystery. So we can tie this in together with our hope. It's the same thing that Paul was telling the Romans here. And he goes on to say, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Back to the theme. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Who gave himself a ransom for all. The critical lexicon for ransom. It's used twice in Matthew and Mark. It's used one time in Timothy. Used twice ransom is the Greek form lutron. In the critical lexicon, the definition used twice losing money, ransom, the price paid for letting loose or setting free, hence expiation. And I'm a dumb Southern boy, I had to look that one up now. Expiation. Atonement, with especially reference to the result rather than the means. The ransom price is an expiation of an equivalent from the punishment due, and therefore free from the consequences of guilt. Let me explain expiation. Because, like I said, that one just... I was telling Roger earlier... Roger agreed with me about the same way he said that he made the rest of the class look good. Because I worked my hiney off to get a C. And I'm still doing it. But the word expiation, it's a noun. The act of atoning for a crime. The act of making satisfaction for an offense by which the guilt is done away, and the obligation of the offended person to punish the crime is canceled. Atonement, satisfaction. Among pagans and Jews, expiation was made chiefly by sacrifices. They expiated themselves. Or washings and purifications. Among Christians, among believers, among students of God's Word, expiation for the sins of men is usually considered as made only by the obedience and sufferings of Christ. Now, that word means a whole lot more. Expiation. In 1 Timothy 2:6, he gave himself a ransom for all, an expiation. To be the testimony in its own seasons. To be testified in due time. When I talked with Jack after I got the message that I was asked to fill in for him, I called him up the next morning and I talked with him. And he said, he just played it off. He said, to this end it will pass. That's him. That's Jack. I said, well, what scripture would you like to throw at him, Jack? He said, Ephesians 4. So let's go to Ephesians 4. And that's all he said. I had to pick out which part of Ephesians 4. I did all the hard work. Thanks, Jack. Man. And I hope I picked out the right one, Jack. 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers and some posters. That's me. Not posters. And by the way, David, I post on Facebook. That's why I say I'm a poster. I'm one of the official posters.
On Pal Talk.
I said faithfully, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, you can tell what I did. In 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. With all the doctrine that's out there today, I'm preaching to the choir. Well, I gotta say it, guys. Y'all here. Somebody might be listening to this. Well, the ones that's online right now know this more than I do, because I got Jim online. I meant Jan. I'm sorry. It's still posted as Jim and Jan. And Cecil's online. Just want y'all to know that they are listening in, and Val, she's logged in. That we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, be a mature, studious, learning Berean. That's what I'm striving to do. May grow up into all things, which is the head, Christ.
Amen.
From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And jump back up to verse 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, the Apostle Paul says, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I didn't speak as long as my brother over here, but that's the message that I have for you. Thank you, guys. I love you.